Afternoon.
Good to have you on the show. Tell me first exactly what Wellington's asking for here.
Well, it's pretty tough to say because we don't really know. The Official Information Act request came through, it was reported on this morning. It notes that Wellington has asked central government, it's a note from MB that has notes on the deal that was proposed by Wellington City Council, so we only really have their version of it there. It was suggesting that Wellington wished to enter into negotiations with central government for either a special economic zone or a city accord like Manchester's to give it a few more powers than it currently has. It suggested that it should support the city's long-term plan for investment, including potential earn-back mechanisms for allowing council to share in any increased tax revenue it might send to central government. It was wanting increased land assembly powers for an urban development authority, and it was wanting to talk about a special economic zone that might let Wellington have slightly different regulatory provisions than other parts of the country.
Why would Wellington need different provisions from the rest of the country?
Well, it would depend what council saw as opportunities. So in 2015, we'd written a report at the initiative called In the Zone, where we'd argued the case for targeted devolution. So as a bit of background context for Wellington and anywhere else in the country, New Zealand's one of the most centralized countries in the world for the proportion of spending and decision-making that happens at central government level as compared to local government level. That's meant that we have broad brush policies across the whole country that don't always suit local circumstance. So one of the things that occurred to us when we were looking at it was that there's a lot of sensitivity around high country estates, and that drives some of the reasons behind the Overseas Investment Act regime. If there were fewer of those kinds of concerns around urban investment, maybe you could have a policy trial area for an urban authority that would have either much more liberal regime around foreign investment or exempt it entirely from the regime, because it seems unlikely that people are going to be coming in, buying an office tower, and then shipping the thing away to China or something. So that was one idea that we'd had there, but ultimately these ideas should be coming from council rather than from us or anyone else. City councils are going to be the ones closest to their people. They'll know what their local circumstances are, and they'll know which policies are best suited. Unfortunately, they vary considerably in capability across the country, and that's been one of the reasons that New Zealand has remained very centralized, that there's deep skepticism on the part of central government that local government can really manage anything at all.
I would have thought there would be some scepticism among voters as well, among ratepayers, among the people that live in all those council areas. And I suppose given that participation in local body elections is quite low in this country, you'd have to ask yourself whether a lot of councils really have a mandate for these kinds of much broader powers.
Well, what you'd want to have would be a council that's willing to do this kind of thing, open the talks with central government to see if it were possible, and then very quickly go back to the people in their district to present the vision of where they'd like to be taking the city, right? I have a difficult time seeing how central government would ever agree to one of these in more concrete form unless the council proposing it could demonstrate that the voters in the area were really keen on the idea. I would expect that to be a next stage to come after seeing whether central government had any interest.
Right. How do these things work in the United Kingdom? Do they work well?
Well, you've noted that there are many of them in place. They're all fairly new, though, and it's taken a long time to get them in place. So the Manchester Accord only fully came into effect this past year. It started last year, but it was a 20-year process to get up to there, where you started with the city councils in the Greater Manchester region starting to work together, form a common vision for the kinds of things they would like to be able to do together, and then build the case for that for central government so that they could show that they were able to do it. So So what's going to be coming this year, it's supposed to be taking full effect, that the Greater Manchester Combined Authority is going to be taking complete control of running the city's transport system, business support, policing and fire services, criminal justice system, infrastructure investment, housing and planning, skills and employment development, and $6 billion of health and social program spending. So the equivalent here would be the DHB turning into an arm of council rather than being an agency of central government.